Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
The book we're talking about today, when I told my mom about it, I was halfway through it last Thursday, and I had a conversation with my mom. I said, oh, Bill O'Reilly's coming on the program to talk about this book. I said, Dad's going to love it. She goes, oh, he's read all of Bill O'Reilly's books. She goes, I'll get a copy. And sure enough, when I showed up over the weekend to say hi to him, he's got it sitting there. So he's listening right now, and he's anxious to dive on into it when he's done with the book that he's reading. I loved this book. It's so readable, and I'm not, this isn't like, well, he's written for an eighth grader. No, it just, it flows so well. It's in your wonderful style, and I'm not going to say each chapter leaves with a cliffhanger, not really, but it just encourages you. You got to move on to the next chapter. That's why I went through about 200 pages of it in virtually no time last week.
Well, I appreciate that, Brian. That's the formula. What we try to do here with all the killing books, and this is the 10th in the series, the best-selling nonfiction book series of all time. We try to give you as many facts as we can, but we want to make it fun to read. So it's a combination of hard reporting but really good storytelling. And it takes a while, about a year, to write each killing book. I will have another one this year because the publisher is going not selling anybody except for me. So he goes, you got to have another book for Christmas, and I will.
That's great.
But Killing the Mob was something that I had a blast writing. Most of these books are painful to write. Killing Jesus was painful.
Ooh, yeah.
Because the research was so hard. We had only two sources, in Israel and in Rome, and we had to go there. And we had to dig this stuff out, and it was just laborious. But Killing the Mob, this is the first killing book that's contemporized. So I'm sure, Brian, you knew a lot of the names in the book that were associated with the mob and guys who were whacked and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Chin, I remember that guy's name popping up. Gigante wasn't his last name.
Vincenzo the Chin.
Yeah, yeah. And so you recognize all these names. You've probably seen movies where they're either brought up or their life history was walked through. But see, I love at the very end you explain how these books are written and how you have this narrative. And the thing that struck me is all of it's just – it's fact, 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 fact. There's no little footnotes there which refer you to the back, like in a bibliography. The lawyer in me was thinking, I'm going to get referred back to some source. But all of your sources were meticulously gone over before you actually, you know, published the book. So you can count on the accuracy of it. But you did note, which I thought was interesting, the paucity of information that's available about a lot of these mob figures. It's tough to find concrete information on many of these background players.
You know, our big break was we got a hold of Lucky Luciano's personal papers. And he was the first godfather, New York crime syndicate boss. And he made all the deals with FDR during World War II and helping General Patton invade Sicily. Once we got that, once we got his personal papers where he said J. Edgar Hoover was compromised by the mob, they had stuff on Hoover, that's why Hoover didn't investigate. Once that fell into line, it became a lot easier to write the book. So there's always a little door open in the research where you get a trove of stuff that nobody's ever heard before. And that's why Killing the Mob broke number one on the New York Times list. I beat Oprah, Brian. I beat Oprah.
Good for you. Well, that,
yeah,
the 55 KRC,
not easy.
55 KRC morning show, and all who listen applaud you for doing that. Now, I'm glad you brought up J. Edgar Hoover, because one of the primary questions I had, everybody knows by now that at least, you know, has some understanding of politics, that Kennedy stole the election and he had help from the mob. But you pointed out in the book, J. Edgar Hoover knew about it. He had a big fat file on Kennedy and all the womanizing and chasing around he did. He never did anything about it. I mean, what was the story with J. Edgar Hoover, at least insofar as that one is concerned?
Well, we couldn't find out exactly what the mob had on him, but we know he was a gambler. He liked the ponies. And we know he was gay.
Yeah.
So you got to assume that somewhere along the line, organized crime compromised them in the gay situation, because the gambling probably wouldn't have been enough. But Hoover basically compiled information on everybody in the U.S. government, including the presidents, and that protected him from ever being fired. But he denied the existence of the mafia. In the meantime, from 1946 to 61, organized crime was the most powerful entity in the United States, more powerful than Congress, any corporation. They ran the unions. They ran everything. Showbiz, records.
I know.
You know, Hoover turns out to be a villain in killing the mob.
Well, yeah, and that's a great segue to my next question, because throughout the book, it just blew my mind. Maybe I'm just of higher moral fiber or something. All this celebrity that they were looked up upon with celebrities. Whether you go back to Dillinger, the public love, he was Robin Bank, he was Robin Hood, but all the celebrities like to hang out with the mobsters up through the 50s and the Flamingo Hotel. It was cool to be seen with the mobsters,
that's
and
right.
Many Hollywood celebrities like Frank Sinatra, you specifically walked through, benefited immeasurably from the mob's help.
Absolutely. For Sinatra was the first one. He was a young singer in a big band era. The band leader had a contract on him. Sinatra wanted out of the contract. All of a sudden, Mo Green shows up, and Sinatra's out of the contract. That started it. And then it progressed into rock and roll, which I find very interesting.
Yes.
Because I grew up in that era of the 50s and 60s, and the mob took it over. So if you were a rocker, and you wanted your record played on the radio, you had to go through the mob because they had bought the DJs on the popular AM stations. And I know that WKRC has been around for a long time in Cincinnati. I don't think you guys were ever involved in that. But here in New York, there were big DJs taken down for payola. They were all in the pocket of the mob. And we, you know, I talked to Tommy James and the Shondells. We talked Bobby Rydell. I don't know whether you remember that name, but
he
was with Frankie Avalon and out of Philadelphia. His literal godfather was Angelo Bruno, the guy who ran the mob in Philadelphia.
Well, you know what cracked me up about the music industry was that guy named Morris Levy that wanted his songwriting credits when he had nothing to do with the songs.
I know. That was a scam that the mob would say, you put this record out, my guy's going to be co-writer. And he had
nothing.
Didn't even know what a piano looked like. But you know what was interesting? We investigated Berry Gordy from Motown because there were accusations that he was in the pocket of the mob. I don't think so. We really went over it, and it looked like Berry Gordy, one of the few, resisted that.
Yeah.
And was able to get away with it. So Motown wasn't polluted by organized crime where many of the other record labels were.
Yeah, they, as you point out, some borrowed money from the mob in order to start the label, which you know what that means. Once you're in bed with them, you never get out of bed with them. And finally, before we part company, Bill O'Reilly, it's Killing the Mob, the name of the book. You can get it on my blog page, 55krc.com. Awesome book. If you are any interest in mobs at all, this one's awesome. Sidney Korshak is a guy I'd never heard of before. He's referred to as a fixer. So I just bring him up because one name after another, like, I know that guy. I've heard of that guy.
Yeah.
of that guy. This guy I'd never heard of before, but as you pointed out, he was a lay low kind of character, but very important in ways.
Well, he was the only one in killing the mob who didn't get it in the end. And that's an interesting thing. So we start with John Dillinger all the way up to John Gotti.
Yep.
All of them get it. They either get assassinated or they're in prison for their whole life or whatever it may be. Sidney Korshak got away with it. Now, he was the Tom Hagen character in The Godfather. He was a lawyer. He wasn't a mobster. He ran Hollywood for more than a decade. He would walk into a movie studio, MGM, Paramount, the big studios. He said, you guys are going to make this movie, and you're going to put these people in it. And if you don't, you're not going to have any lighting people, sound people, camera people, because they're all unionized, and the mob controlled the unions. So the mob ran Hollywood, literally ran it, took a piece of a lot of movies. A lot of actors, as you pointed out, Brian, loved the mob. George Raft, these names.
Peter Lawford.
Yeah. and they wanted to be tough guys, and they wanted to have, you know, entree into organized crime. But Korshak, he kept such a low profile, they never got him. The LAPD knew about him. They knew, but they could not get him. And he made millions and millions of dollars being the message boy for the mob.
Fascinating. Learn something every day, and I sort of learned a lot about the mob in Killing the Mob by Bill O'Reilly, my guest today. Bill, it's been a real pleasure having you on the program, and thanks again for yet another excellent book. And I know my listeners are going to really enjoy reading it.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Best to you folks, and let's talk again soon.
I'll look forward to it.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.